This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are with Dr. Reza Momani, board-certified plastic surgeon at Summit Medical Group's Plastic Surgery Center, located in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. He is here to speak with us today about non-surgical and surgical treatments for double chin. Dr. Momani, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here with you.
You are most welcome. So, Dr. Momani, what is submental fat and why does submental fat occur?
Well, submental fat in regular colloquial English is typically known as your old double chin. If you think about where the chin is, where the double chin is, to surgeons and to doctors is actually part of the neck. So we don't consider that the chin. Anatomically, we think of the bony area under your lip as the chin, and everything under that is a part of the neck. But of course, because most patients and most people in just regular daily conversation call the area double chin, we'll refer to it in consultation as the same. Now, submental, the word sub means under, and mental means chin. It just literally means under the chin. The reason submental fat is important is because the reason patients sometimes think they have a double chin is sometimes it's fat, sometimes it's saggy skin, and sometimes it's saggy muscle. And what we're going to talk about today a little bit is treatments that concentrate on the fatty kind of double chin, not on the saggy skin and not on the muscle. The reason that you get fatty deposits collecting in that area is, one, sometimes people have familial tendencies for it to happen over time. So you'll find somebody that says, I have this and I'm beginning to notice it as I get into my 30s or 40s and 50s. And not only do I have it, my mother has it and my grandmother had it. And when I look in a picture, it looks not so great to me, especially people doing selfies now on Facebook and sending it around, people becoming a little bit more conscious about these things. The second reason is that the fact of life is that, unfortunately, as we get older, we add a little bit of weight. So if you're adding a pound a year or a pound every other year, over time, all of this fat goes somewhere. And of course, we put it in the usual places, in our hips and thighs and abdomen. But some of it's also going to deposit around the head and the neck. And one of its favorite areas to go is under the chin. So that's why it occurs.
So what are your recommendations for someone looking to treat submental fat?
So when we see patients in consultation who are coming in and complaining about that double chin, the first thing that I do is I try to, A, diagnose the problem, and B, educate the patient. People often see plastic surgeons on television, and it's glamorous, and it looks like we're just waving knives and scalpels and lasers. But you have to remember that we're doctors before we're plastic surgeons, and the most important thing is to try to diagnose what the problem is before you offer up a treatment. So the first thing I do when I see a patient who thinks they have submental fat is I try to confirm this. So I look at the area, I examine the area, I pinch the area, just try to determine whether this saggy double chin is extra skin or is it extra fat under the skin. Because if it's extra skin, then there's really nothing else we can do about it except for neck lift and surgical treatments. We might mention that a little bit later in the context of a quick lift. But largely, since we're talking about the fatty tissues, if I pinch the area and if it looks and feels to me like there's fat that's underneath there, then we're going to have three options for the patient. The option that has always been there and has been well known by patients and by surgeons is liposuction contouring. Liposuction started in the 1970s, and over the 80s and 90s, plastic surgeons perfected it all over the world. So up until about 4 or 5 years ago, when somebody came to the office and said, look, I have this double chin, and I found out that it was fatty tissue, I would offer them liposuction. And it's not that liposuction doesn't work. It works perfectly. But it is very dependent on the skill of the surgeon and the eye of the surgeon. And it also depends a little bit on the tools that the surgeons use. Liposuction works great, but the recovery from it can be a little bit lengthy for some patients. Sometimes you're looking at about a week and a half, 2 weeks of swelling and perhaps even bruising. Not to mention that in order for it to be done safely, most patients would probably choose to have a little bit of anesthesia. So now the whole thing becomes just a little bit more complex, not that it can't be done, but if the world was ideal, we would look for simpler, easier things to do. And that's where these newer treatments come in. This last year, the FDA approved a new medication called Kybella. And it's been taken over now by the same company that has created and sold Botox in the U.S. for a long, long time. Kybella is becoming pretty popular. Kybella, like Botox, is an injectable medication, but what's unlike Botox is that its effects are permanent. So whereas Botox wears off after about 3, 4, 5 months and patients have to redo it, Kybella, which is the fat-killing medication that's injected in the double chin, will create its effects in about 6 weeks, but the effect that you get is going to last forever. The second option that we have for patients for the submental fat, for that double chin that is fatty, is CoolSculpting. CoolSculpting is not an injection. A lot of patients like CoolSculpting because it doesn't involve even putting a needle under the skin. The story behind CoolSculpting is really cute and really interesting. Some years ago, a couple of scientists noted that when fatty areas are held at cold temperatures for an hour or more, some of the fat cells die. The classic example is ladies who went horseback riding in the dead of winter, and their thighs were against a cold, frozen saddle for an hour or two, often noted that the inside fat of the thighs tended to wither away. And sometimes kids who would suck on popsicles all summer long, inside of their cheeks, the fatty tissue of the cheek tended to go away for a long time. So the scientists who came up with CoolSculpting thought, well, why don't we go back and use this quality of the fat and design a device that by holding the fatty area cold at a freezing temperature for approximately 1 hour, we can cause 15-20% of the fat that was held cold to actually die off in the next 3 or 4 months. And in fact, this device was FDA approved in the later part of last decade, and it's been around in the U.S. for 5 or 6 years now, and it works beautifully. But it wasn't until last year that they came out with a specialized attachment that fits under the chin. So that's the second option for submental fat. We can use CoolSculpting to sculpt the area without even a needle going underneath the skin. But patients have to know that the downside of CoolSculpting is that you're limited to this applicator, to this molded cup that you have for under the chin, which sometimes fits people nicely and we can use it on those patients. And sometimes it doesn't really fit the anatomy of a patient very well. And so we would have to tell them that that may not be a good option. But when it does fit the patient, it works great. It doesn't involve any invasive treatment. And even though the area can be a little sore or swollen for a few days, most patients don't really have to take any time off of work or limit their activities or sports. And the effect of CoolSculpting, once that dead fat clears away naturally from the area, just like a bruise would, usually presents itself in about 2 to 3 months. So we're in a position 2-3 months after the treatment to know whether it worked well enough or whether the patient may want to have another round of treatment done.
If you would, get into briefly, what is Kybella's CoolSculpting and QuickLift, and how do these procedures treat some mental fat?
Right. So these are the three typical tools in our toolbox for treating that double chin submental fat. But each of them works very differently. So we have to customize them, and we have to make sure that we offer the right patient the right treatment. Kybella is an injection. The material in the injection that was FDA approved is actually similar chemically to bile that is produced by the liver. And the way that the liver processes fatty tissue in the intestines, it produces the bile acid, and the bile acid breaks up the fatty tissues. So the design of Kybella is that it's the purified version of the acidic material that is actually in the bile, and what it does is it is very specific for fatty tissue. So the minute that you inject it, it starts working on the fatty tissue in the double chin, and it breaks up that fat selectively. Once the fat breaks up, it takes about a few weeks, up to about 6, for it to clear away from the area, just like sometimes when you have a really bad bruise, it might take a few weeks to go away. And the effect of Kybella can be seen around a month and a half later. CoolSculpting also destroys fat, but in a different way. As I was mentioning before, there's no injection with CoolSculpting. There is a specialized cup that has freezing panels in it, and by putting the fatty tissue under the chin into that suction cup and holding it at a frozen temperature for 1 hour, we arrive at a situation after the treatment where about 15 or 20% of that fatty tissue will have been damaged beyond the body's ability to repair it. And therefore, just like Kybella that destroyed the material chemically, that CoolSculpting destroys the area by thermal effect. And it takes about 6 or 7 weeks for the patient to see the effect, but some of the fat goes away, meaning you might get a 15 or 20% improvement. Now, QuickLift is not a product. QuickLift is just what I term a combination of different types of treatments to arrive at a good result. So sometimes you see a patient that is perfect for Kybella. Of course, you offer that patient Kybella because it's simple and easy. Other times you see a patient who is perfect for CoolSculpting. Of course, you treat them with CoolSculpting because it's simple and easy. But occasionally you see a patient where they have a little bit of submental fat, but they also have saggy skin or they also have saggy muscle. And we know that in giving that patient honest recommendations and treatment plans, we can't really treat them with a simple CoolSculpting or simple Kybella treatment because they're not going to arrive at a great result. So what we'll do is we may combine different types of tools out of our fat toolbox, like Kybella, CoolSculpting, and sometimes even liposuction or a little mini surgery to lift the area, so that we don't just treat the fatty tissue, but we also treat the looseness of the skin. So QuickLift really, in effect, is a minimally invasive or a less invasive neck lift than the traditional neck lift, and it's appropriate for patients whose neck is not completely sagging. So, of course, not every patient is a candidate, but if we don't think Kybella and CoolSculpting, which are the less invasive treatments, will work well enough for a patient, then we may offer them QuickLift, which is a quicker version of, in terms of recovery, than a traditional neck lift.
Very thoroughly explained, and we certainly do appreciate that. Today we are with Dr. Reza Momani, board-certified plastic surgeon at Summit Medical Group's Plastic Surgery Center located in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Momani, what do each of these procedures entail, and what is recovery like, and when can one expect results?
That's a great question. Starting with Kybella, what it entails in the office is it involves injections that generally take no more than about a 20 or 30 minute office visit. Right after the procedure, the patient can expect some soreness, but most of the patients will take Motrin and be fine. And in the first few days after the treatment injection, what you would expect is what we describe as bullfrogging in a joking manner. What that means is that the underside of the chin, that double chin area, will actually swell before it gets better. Usually all of this is over by about 4 or 5 days, and most of the patients we've done this for have had very little bruising, moderate swelling, and typically people don't take any time off of work or any major activities. Of course, if you haven't seen the in-laws for 20 years or you have a reunion coming up, probably you don't want to do this the day before, but if you wanted to, we wouldn't have any medical objection to it. When we go to CoolSculpting, what the treatment involves is no injections at all. You would spend about 1 hour in the office attached to the device that has the freezing panels of the CoolSculpting suction cup on it. And this is a treatment that can be done easily while you're watching television or reading a book, or some patients even turn out the light and go to sleep. And afterwards, what you experience is, just like Kybella, a few days of swelling and occasionally bruising. And it takes about 2 to 3 months to see the effect, just like Kybella. QuickLift is a little bit different because it's a combination of the non-surgical and the minimally surgical treatments. So the recovery can be a little bit longer. It's about a week to two. And oftentimes we perform this in the office with just a couple of pain medication pills that are given to the patient in the period before the procedure. But the recovery is a little longer than the other two procedures because we are making small incisions and we're repairing them. Of course, the effects are much more dramatic than the other procedures because we're reserving this QuickLift procedure for the patients who are not good candidates for the Kybella and CoolSculpting, and therefore they need a little bit more. The recovery from a QuickLift usually is in the order of a week to two, and because it is minimally surgical, we do recommend patients to take it easy for the first few days.
Lastly, Dr. Momani, what are the complications associated with these treatments?
That's another great question. Of course, every time we're talking about any medical treatment, we want to make sure that we keep in mind all of the complications as well. It's important to separate expected side effects from complications. Expected side effects are things like swelling, maybe a little numbness, maybe a little bruising, maybe a little bit of discomfort. These are things that everybody should expect. And if they happen, they're not considered a problem because we know that over time they go away. Real complications are things that we don't want to have happen. Thankfully, because the Kybella and CoolSculpting procedures are minimally invasive, the real risk of complication is really quite small. With Kybella, sometimes patients have a bruise that may last longer than expected. If the doctor doing these procedures is not experienced, obviously you want to stay away from the nerves and the muscle structures in the area. And so it's very important that the doctor who's seeing the patient be board certified in either dermatology or plastic surgery and have experience in injecting these materials. And they should have intimate knowledge of the anatomy of the face and the neck, because there are specific areas like the thyroid gland and the nerves underneath the jawline that we want to avoid with injection procedures. With the QuickLift procedures, my personal belief is that really the only folks who should be doing the QuickLift procedures and even the minimally invasive surgical lift procedures for the neck should be board-certified plastic surgeons, because we're really the only physicians who are experienced and board certified in the cosmetic surgery of the face and neck and have at least 5 years of residency training and 2 years of mandatory experience before the board certification is granted. So it's important that your patients would seek information about the doctor that is treating them and make sure that they're not just board certified, but board certified in the right specialty to be able to carry out these procedures with minimizing the complications.
Certainly do appreciate all the information today. Tell our listeners where they can find your practice online and how they can be in touch as well.
So we have a wonderful website that is chock full of education. We've tried really hard to make sure that the website is really geared towards giving patients information. It's not about sales. I always tell my initial consultation patients that if they walk out of the office and not do anything, I'll be perfectly happy as long as I know that I educated them. So we have a wonderful website. It is Plastic Surgery SMG. That's Plastic Surgery, S as in Summit, M as in Medical, G as in Group, which is where we are. PlasticSurgerySMG.com, where patients will find a significant number of before-after photographs, great educational articles, and just chock full of information about not just the treatments that we talked about, but all other treatments the plastic surgeons offer here at the Summit Medical Group. I have three wonderful partners. We're all board certified in plastic surgery, and all we care about is just good, honest team patient care all day.
Once again, thanks so much for thoroughly covering non-surgical and surgical treatments for double chin. Dr. Momeny, and thank you for being with us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
And you're more than welcome. We have been speaking with Dr. Reza Momeny, board-certified plastic surgeon at Summit Medical Group's Plastic Surgery Center located in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. And for more information and for contact, simply visit PlasticSurgerySMG.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.